Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hi, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, one of our local protests is making national news. What's going on with Line 3?
Well, the biggest protest to date happened last weekend and on Monday over around the Mississippi headwaters region in western Minnesota. About 2,000 people gathered to march to a planned river crossing near the headwaters, and then hundreds more were at a pump station under construction several miles away. That was more confrontational and led to more than 170 arrests, according to law enforcement, as folks chained themselves, locked themselves to equipment, refused to leave, and otherwise tried to stand in the way of construction of the pipeline. The half-built pipeline, if it's completed, will carry 790,000 barrels of Canadian oil from Alberta to the Enbridge terminal in Superior. Enbridge, the Canadian company, still expects to have the thing operational by the end of the year, despite some looming port challenges and promises by protesters who call themselves water protectors to remain in the way of construction.
And Danny, how's the Wisconsin side affected by all this?
Yeah, well, you know, I spoke with some protesters from Wisconsin who came up in a caravan to take part in the protest. And basically, they're hoping that, you know, all this attention surrounding Line 3 will also draw attention to other pipeline projects in the region, like Line 5 and their proposed relocation project in northern Wisconsin. Enbridge is planning to reroute a roughly 40-mile segment of that line after the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa filed a lawsuit a couple years ago to shut down that line on its reservation and remove it from tribal lands. Also, if this project is completed, Enbridge would begin sending more oil through Line 3 to its terminal. And that replacement coincides with the company's plans to expand the amount of oil that would flow through its Line 61 pipeline. And that line extends from Superior to the Illinois border. So Enbridge plans to send up to 1.2 million barrels of crude per day through Line 61 once more oil is flowing through Line 3 if it's completed.
Well, Brooks, as we cross our fingers over the hopeful signs of an end to the pandemic, there's federal relief money available for communities to, I guess, normalize things. What's Duluth planning on doing with it?
Yeah, well, not only normalize and make up for lost revenue, tax revenue over the last year, but hopefully, you know, city leaders are hoping to jumpstart some initiatives. Duluth is getting $58 million from the federal government from the $1.9 trillion pandemic relief package approved earlier this year. So that money can go specifically to infrastructure projects, including broadband, which I know Superior has also signaled they want to take a look at using that their money for. So the $58 million that Duluth is receiving is still under negotiation. City councilors this week gave their initial sort of wish list. Broadband was at the top. Some street funding would be great. Parks improvements. And just catching up generally from where we lost revenue in the last year. So half the money is here already in the city's bank account, and the other half will come next May. And Mayor Emily Larson is hoping to have some decisions or some guidelines on how that money will be spent before the city council takes a month-long break in July and August.
And speaking of getting back to normal, college enrollment certainly took a hit during the pandemic. What were the numbers during the last year and the predictions?
Well, I think everyone assumed we were going to see some declines in student enrollment as many, you know, put off college for a year while they waited for the pandemic to ebb. At University of Minnesota Duluth, that led to a 6% decline in the number of undergrads enrolled at UMD last fall. That's about 500 people. And, you know, we're seeing that similar falls around at colleges around the region, too. Lake Superior College, some of their shorter programs saw numbers down as much as 10%, but overall, they only lost 1% of enrollment in total. Now, at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, there were about 5% drop in undergraduate students. And they say a push to move many graduate programs online in recent years helped boost their overall numbers, but they still did see some drop in those first year with students and some taking a break. College of St. Scholastica, the private four-year college here in Duluth, also lost about 5% of its student body as some waited out the pandemic. And we will just have to see what next year holds. Officials are optimistic that things are going to turn around as the pandemic has falsely ended, perhaps, or we enter a new phase. And folks say that, you know, we should make up for lost ground a little bit.
All right. Well, Danny, getting back on the ground or on the beaches, how are our friends the Piping Plovers doing?
Oh, they might be doing a little bit better this year now that lake levels are subsiding across the Great Lakes. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says there's more suitable habitat for the piping plover to nest because though water levels have been dropping, even though they're still high, you know, they're not expected to reach those record highs seen last year. So, you know, this rising water that we've seen in recent years has closed in on these birds' nesting areas, and that shrinks their habitat because they really like these large, sandy, cobblestone beaches. And so it's really posed a challenge for their recovery. And across the Great Lakes region, they have a goal to reach 150 nesting pairs for the bird. And this year, they're hoping to get close to half of that amount, saying that they're seeing some of the best habitat across the lakes in over a decade. And Wisconsin had 9 nesting pairs last year on the Cat Island chain in Green Bay and the Apostle Islands on Lake Superior. And they've been out this week on the Apostle Islands to check to see if the birds are nesting, because typically they've nested on Long Island within the Apostles for years, but now they're starting to see them on other islands. And there's some hope, too, that the birds could nest at Wisconsin Point because they've done a lot of work with the Army Corps and DNR to expand the beach there as part of efforts to clean up and restore habitat in the St. Louis River. And so there was one piping plover spotted there last year, and a state avian ecologist thinks that, you know, the site has never looked better for the birds. So they're asking people to stay out of the area, keep their dogs on a leash, and keep their fingers crossed that they'll see a nest this year.
All right. Well, I guess you could say the plovers stay away from the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest, but somebody else is interested in the area.
Yeah, no. You know, what you might see in the Shawamigan-Nicolet is the potential for mining in the future after Aquila Resources, a Toronto-based company, announced this month that they were going to sell their interests in the Bend and Reef mineral deposits to a newly formed private company for almost $6 million. And these deposits are copper and gold deposits in Wisconsin. And, you know, if this is approved, the buyer is intending to raise additional money for exploratory drilling at both of these sites, the Bend deposit in Taylor County and the Reef deposit in Marathon County. And the Bend deposit in Taylor County, it contains more than 4 million tons of mostly copper and gold. And Aquila has filed a prospecting permit application with the Bureau of Land Management since it's federal land. And right now they're going through that process. You know, nothing has taken place yet. The newly formed company would also have to get an exploration license from the state. But the Forest Service expects that they would begin formally conducting an environmental review of Aquila's prospecting permit application sometime this fall.
Okay. We've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week on Simply Superior. Grandma's Marathon is back in business and in person. We'll hear from the man who was there from the beginning.
I stayed focused on two of my goals. One, I was going to have a safe race for everybody that ran Grandma's Marathon, if you were a 6-hour runner or a 2-hour and 20-minute runner. And second, from day one, was that we're going to have a mini Olympics at Grandma's Marathon every year.
And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Brianne Marie and the Front Porch Sinners. Stay safe, everyone.
I went down to the shoreline to watch the sun rise. Felt the breeze.